Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Terrell Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. Ooh! We. Five-game losing streak. But it's all right. You are still tuned in, and you are now talking with TD. Appreciate each of you for keeping the interest going. I know it's tough in the midst of that losing streak. You guys are being disappointed week in and week out. But, hey, man, I'm here to pick you up. I am Terrell Davenport, your host. We got a loaded show today, as we do every week. We're going to go ahead down to Dallas and bring in ESPN NFL Nation Cowboys reporter Todd Archer. We got that going. Run TMC. I think with Chris Sanders, Titans receiver, I think we're going to get into just this idea of benching versus having the starters play. So that'll be a conversation there. But you know who else is with me this whole hour? David James.
Yes, sir. Always, forever.
That's right. Making it happen, man. And I tell you, let's start with that. We'll go back and we'll reflect on the game a little bit there. And, the bottom line is extreme disappointment. This offense, let's face the facts, they haven't scored 20 points more than once in these five games that they've lost. 22 points against Jacksonville in that loss was a 36-22. I don't know, folks. This is probably the worst I've seen. Well, that Broncos game, a 19-0 shutout, when Tannehill first took over at halftime, that was quite a feat. But I think when you look at just what's going on now, the outlook is so much different, because this is a team that showed so much promise last year. And coming into this year, you know, it was tough, man, right? I think the fortune of this franchise changed when A.J. Brown was sent to the Eagles.
I would agree.
That's where, like, stuff just started to, the train that was rolling, just, like, it hit a little bit of a womp, womp, womp. But there was hope. And you look, man, and that's the thing that's so crazy. 5 weeks ago, they were 7-3. Coming off a win over the Packers, and it was like, okay, maybe they could piece it together. Traylon Burks had the game that he had, and it was like things looked good. But now, you know, Ryan Tannehill has his situation. Malik Willis is the quarterback. I'm not going to put it all on Malik, you know what I mean, as far as like the offense struggling. I mean, look, statistically, not good, right? You know, 14 of 23, 99 yards, two interceptions. But one thing I will say, when you have a guy like Malik Willis at quarterback, it makes it a lot better for Derrick Henry. I would love to see more play fake, booting Willis and letting him go ahead and run with the football, but also letting him go ahead and attack the line of scrimmage and throw the ball downfield. Now, granted, you need time to do that, but one thing about play action is it gives you max protection. Typically, you have seven in protection, so I think that's something that they need to do a little bit more. Todd Downing did a good play call there to get Willis in space and let him run for the touchdown. Really solid touchdown he had there. I thought that was impressive. Would like to see more out of the passing game. But, I mean, look, there's a lot of times where, like, you watch the All-22 or even just sitting in the press box and watching, and guys aren't getting open. You know, and then he hit Chigakonkwo with a nice pass, but he dropped it. And look, man, I'm not going to harp on that, because Okonkwo has given plenty of outstanding plays. But, you know, that game was just disappointing, right? And it came down to turnovers. Yeah, obviously, and the lack of capitalizing, maximizing opportunities also. Because you look, it's 7-0. That first Texans drive after the touchdown, the very next Texans drive after the touchdown, they drove down the field. There was a pass, I forget who it was intended for, but Davis Mills threw the ball in the end zone. It hit Zach Cunningham right between the 4 and the 1. And you know what? you're in the midst of a 4-game losing streak. You got to make that play. You got to. And here's the thing. That very well could have been a pick six, man. You know, you had Philip Dorsett on the field, Brandon Cooks on the field, so those guys probably would have caught him. But nevertheless, that would have prevented 7 points from being on the board. Mind you, this was a 19-14 game. So you have that not taking advantage of the opportunity. Then you have another opportunity where, you know what, this time the linebacker caught it. Dr. Jack Gibbons, interception. Nice pick. The Titans, you know, had a chance after that, but unfortunately, you know, they weren't able to capitalize. You had the Derrick Henry fumble. That was the game changer right there because, you know, they're in position to score. And the ball got ripped out. I mean, look, you know, some people will say, hey, it's because of the sleeves. And I know the next series, Derek took the sleeves off to get a different feel for the football. But, I mean, he said it. Fighting for extra yards. That's what it is. So he was fighting to get those extra yards. The ball got ripped out. They converted their turnovers into points. The Titans didn't do that with their turnovers. There's a big difference there. And that's what makes a 1-10 team able to beat a 7-7 team. I always say divisional playoff or divisional games are always, always one to be wary of because these are two teams that typically know each other. There's close ties, and you never know what could happen. Case in point. So you had the Titans losing the game, 19-14. They are now behind the Jaguars. Behind the Jaguars.
Oh, man.
In the AFC race, AFC South division race, which is just mind-boggling to me. But look, it sets it up for a win and end game on January 8th. But in the meantime, you had the Cowboys game, and, you know, the idea of resting players, I don't know for sure that I support that. But nevertheless, this is what we're looking at, David. And this is, wow, there's a lot here. So I'll run through the guys who are out first. Dylan Cole, ankle, out. Zach Cunningham, elbow, out. Bud Dupree, pectoral, out. Scroll down. Amani Hooker, knee, out. Nicholas Petit-Ferrer, ankle, out. Ryan Tannehill, we knew, ankle, out. Josh Thompson, concussion, out. Jeffrey Simmons, ankle, out. Woof. Okay. Whoa, man. But it's not done yet. Let's go to doubtful. DeNico Autry, biceps, doubtful. Let me say this. That's a new injury.
Yeah.
It was knee in the past. New injury, doubtful. Okay. We mentioned him. We're talking about new injuries. Derrick Henry, doubtful. Hip. Now, that's something else that is a new injury. We haven't seen hip on there before.
Yeah.
Also, it's progress. Christian Fulton, groin, doubtful. But he was before just out. He was limited in practice on Tuesday and Wednesday. So you have those. Aaron Brewer, calf, full participant. No status there. Now, I think, you know, if a guy's able to go, you let him go, at least to an extent. I feel you go out there and at least start the game with your guys. Now, you could always pull him. You could always pull him. But if you deactivate him, you know, you're just like from the start. I'm not going to say throwing in the towel, but you're from the start, like limiting your chance to win. And me personally, I think when you have a team that has lost 5 consecutive games, you absolutely have to put your best foot forward. You're desperate for a win. I talked to Robert Woods, and he said that, you know, the playoffs started early for them. And he's right. They started early. Technically, next week is a playoff game. What did Mike Vrabel say about the crossroads? He said you want to roll into the playoffs playing your best football. Guess what? If you could go out and beat the Cowboys, you're playing your best football. Even if you don't go out and beat them, if you could go out and establish a rhythm on offense and score more than 20 points, now you got something to build on. And that's what Robert Woods told me about the importance of this game. He said, you know, some people are saying that this is a meaningless game. No, this is an opportunity for us to go out, establish a rhythm, put together drives on offense, something that they need to do, and score some points and take that and roll that into next week. My whole mindset is this. If weeks ago Mike Vrabel said that they're at a crossroads and they have to go into the playoffs playing well, we know next week is a playoff type of game because if you lose it, you go home. Why not start that now? And that's my thought process. Everybody has a different way of looking at it, but I just think a loss is not going to do you any good. A win would do you much better, and I feel like you can go into this game and have guys playing and resting up after that game because you have quite some time between Thursday and January 8th. Just my opinion. But one of the other things that we're going to see happening is Malik Willis at quarterback. And obviously, when you look at everything, you know, the performance, the stats, they let you know the QBR is under 30. Like, everything is bad. It is. But let's remember, this is a young man who, from the jump, they said was a project. It was a rebuilding process from the ground up. This is his fourth start, if I'm not mistaken. Folks, not everybody's going to come in and be like the guy that they're facing on Thursday, Dak Prescott, and get off to a hot start like that. Still give it time. But I did see something from Malik Willis that I really liked. And, yeah, they lost the game. I get it. They lost the game. At the same time, you know, in talking to Chig Okonkwo, Chig told me that, hey, Malik did something. Because I asked Chig about just how Malik has been, like, helping from a positive perspective. You know, excuse me, because that's something that Roger McCreary said Malik did a really good job of. And they knew each other from their time at Auburn. And he said that Malik has been a guy to, you know, keep everything positive. So, well, let's see. Let me ask Chig about that. And Chig, and I said, give me an example. And he said, well, you know, before the game, he got up and he spoke in front of the team. And we were all hype and got excited about that. I thought that was pretty cool. And he said that was something, a big step for him, because he had never done that before. So I naturally, next time we got to talk to Malik, I asked him about that. You know, just in true to form, he always, this kid, the perspective is always interesting with him. Here's what he said.
Just make sure we all on the same page. I mean, as a team, we all got to be thinking one thing, and that's to go out there and win. And we got to be behind each other regardless of what goes on, the good and the bad. So it's just getting that point across and make sure we're all on the same page.
Knowing how you have that perspective of life versus football, you know, when you do step in front of them and you deliver that speech, like, where do you draw that from to be able to get the team hyped the way that you did?
I mean, regardless of age, I'm a man. They all men. We out here working together. This is a team. Nobody can go out there and win a game by themselves. So it's just understanding that and putting the points out there that makes sense.
Yeah, so he's right. You know, it's a matter of perspective, understanding, excuse me, that, you know, when you look at this whole big picture of things, it is a game, right? So, look, man, like, no one's living or dying because of the results here. But people tend to take it like that is the case. And I know after the game, you know, Malik had some comments there. I'm looking for the full transcript to read that, because some people had some big problems because he didn't want to, you know, jump off a bridge after being the quarterback in a game where they lost. But ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, there's more to life than just football. And this young man gets it. I don't think it's worth, you know, saying, you know, this is the type of guy that can't, he, you know what? No face of the franchise for him. He can't be the lead. What? I would much rather have a guy that understands perspective and understands that, hey, look, we did lose here, but this is something that we could learn from. It's an opportunity to learn something. So you look at the comments, right? Malik Willis was asked about the game, and he said, you know, it's football. You woke up this morning. I woke up this morning. I'm just as happy as I would have been had we won. Now, that statement, I can understand, you know, people saying, hey, look, you know, I can't really get down with that. Because you know what? I can't either. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, it's unfortunate and it sucks that we lost, but we have an opportunity to wake up tomorrow and learn from it and get better. Again, we have an opportunity to wake up tomorrow and learn from it and get better. You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. You lost the game. There's nothing you could do about it. But you could take and use it as an opportunity to learn and get better. We still have everything we want in front of us. That's what Malik said. Next week against Jacksonville, they win that game. They're in the playoffs. I could be a Debbie Downer about it. That's your perspective, and everybody's entitled to that. I'm blessed, bro. We still have everything we could want. Again, we still have everything we could want. We have an opportunity to learn from something that might be better than going out there and doing one or two things today. I'm not sure what he meant with that, but that in no way warrants, in my opinion, saying there's no way this guy could be the leader. That just my opinion. And here's the thing that I just want to take it even a step further. Before Malik went to the podium and had this conversation, he got pulled aside by Jeffrey Simmons. Simmons say, hey, Malik, come here. And I remember I stopped and I was just observing the conversation. A lot of positive talk. One of the things that Jeff said was, this is your team, Malik. This is your offense. I really respected that. So knowing that, I turned later and I said, hey, Malik, you know, when you look at this defense and what they did and how the offense has kind of come up short in this game, how much respect did you gain from them, gain for them? You know, and he talked about how the defense played really well. Now, of course, it doesn't fit the whole narrative, right? It doesn't fit the narrative. But
not at all.
He said, hey, I let them down. He didn't say we. He said, I let them down. I'm going to find that audio and we're going to play that. But before we do, I want you to check out what Jeffrey Simmons. I pulled Jeff aside and talked to him about Malik. Interesting conversation here. Check it out.
To say that, you know, it's kind of his team. He's the leader of the offense. How do you feel like he's done as far as taking over, you know, assuming that role?
I guess he's playing his role. I mean, I don't know what's all. I'm not on the field when they're on the field. But I think when you talk about quarterbacks, I mean, it's just their, you know, you're the quarterback of the offense. I mean, that's your offense. You in control. So that was my message to him. I think when he said the same thing with Tanny, you know, he on the field, that's his offense. So, I mean, I think, you know, when he's a young player, and guys like me I've been in this league for 4 years now, so I think just kind of helping him out with that type of message and trying to keep him motivated, because I know you're losing, you know, you kind of put all the blame on yourself. I know how hard that could be. So, I mean, I told him I'm with him. You know, I got his back. You know, the plan is just try to get a win. And I said, I know it's hard, especially being a young player coming in. I mean, I'm sure he didn't expect to play as many snaps he planned, but I think he's doing a good job so far.
So that was more like a motivational thing, a confidence thing for
him. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I know how hard it could be. I mean, I never played quarterback, but I mean, I know how hard it is playing quarterback in this league, especially, you know, with guys like us coming after you. So, like I said, I know it's tough for him, and I know his leadership. I know he want to win, so he want to stay motivated. You know, we got your back. We're behind you. The team behind you. We're going to find a way to get a win.
And then last thing he said, because I asked him, you know, about the respect that he's gained for the defense, you know, seeing what you guys do. He said he felt like he let you guys down. Obviously, it's a team thing, but, like, what keeps you guys from pointing fingers? Like, you always say, hey, look, you know, we got to go out and put the fires out.
Yeah, that's why.
Fingers
I said that after the game. You know, that's one thing we talk about as a defense, you know, sudden change. I mean, we're not looking for them to go 60 points a game. It's, you know, you guys do your job. You turn over the ball, it's our job to go out there and put the fires out. Like I said, it's called sudden change. And when things like that happen, how can we go out there? Because we've done it over and over again. So, I mean, that's just one of the things where we have to We fumbled the ball. They went down to the score on that drive. That's how can we get off the field? You know, on third down or whatever may be, not give up big plays to help our offense get the ball back in good field position. So I think that's the next step with us. You know, it's not pointing fingers. You know, it's just attacking the field, stepping on the field with the same mindset each and every time, stopping it off. And then we call it like, I mean, it's the keys there. We find a way to get the drive stop, and that's kind of the message each and every week. No matter if it's off a turnover, if we just got on the field on the first play of the game, find a way to get off the field.
So I love the way Simmons was talking. That's true leadership, man. And I think when you look at what he brings to the table, it's beyond just his play on the field. And I said it before, Jeffrey Simmons is a walking example of the Titans, their core, their motto, the things that they stand by. So shout out to Simmons there. Here's the Malik Willis statement. I want to put this out there because, you know, we definitely harp upon what he said about, you know, not taking the loss so personally. But I thought this was a really good comment. This shows accountability. Check out what he said here.
I mean, I'm just blessed to have this opportunity to be on this team. So, and to see how those guys work week in and week out and how they show up to the game and play and just put it all on the line for us. I mean, it's more than anything. I feel like I let those guys down.
So, you know, he was talking about the defense there because I asked him specifically about the respect he's gained, you know, and he said, I feel like I let those guys down. That right there shows accountability. So, yes, while he didn't decide that he should think about jumping off a bridge, he still said he's accountable. But he also said that he is happy with the fact that he could learn from it. So just wanted to get that stuff off my chest. This is going to be some game, man. Ooh, Lord have mercy. Everybody is getting rested. But we'll see what happens. I want to get Chris Sanders. I want to get his opinion about this. So we'll be right back. We'll go to a commercial, come back, we'll run TMC. What's up, everyone? This is Teron Davenport, and I want to tell you about Sarah Chevrolet Buick GMC of Nashville. They took great care of me when I got my brand new Camaro. They have hundreds of new or gently pre-owned vehicles, special discounts, and monthly incentives. They don't have any market adjustments, zero dealer ads. Save, save, save. You could go online to chat, check availability, and purchase your vehicle without ever stepping foot into the dealership. Or you could go there and see my guy, Josh Lemon. Either way, check them out at sarahnashville.com. That's S-E-R-R-A, Nashville.com. And tell them TD sent you.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Run, DMC. For you. Fresh.
It is.
Let me get those strings. All right. Ooh. The music fades. The lights dim. Here it comes. Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you live from the Philadelphia Spectrum. Starting at shooting guard for your 76ers, number 21, Lloyd World Be Free.
And now, singing his number one song, Say You, Say Me, Lino Richie.
Hello?
Is it me or... What's up, Doc? How you doing, man?
Hey, man, every day is a fabulous day. I'm doing
absolutely
well.
Absolutely.
We're going to keep this thing rolling. I know stuff is tough and tight as land.
Oh, man.
You know what? Before we get into what I want to talk about, I thought sure. Malik Willis had an awesome comment, man, when he said,
what'd he say?
You know, I woke up this morning, and then he said, we get a chance to wake up tomorrow morning, and we could learn from this. I think that perspective that he had was really good. Some of the fans, which are short for fanatics, you know, didn't really like that. They want him to, you know, go get step on the pedestrian bridge and look down and think about jumping off after the loss. But that's not how it works. You know what I mean?
I know.
Perspective.
But see, people got to understand, and I respect what people say, but at the end of the day, it's just a football game.
Right.
And here's what he said. He said, I get out of bed and play a game that I love to play. I understand we want to win. I understand the division is at hand. I understand that, you know, he didn't play that well. We understand that they lost five games in a row. But at the end of the day, are we going to remember this in 5 years?
Yeah. That's the thing. So
I'm not negating the importance of what winning is. I know we want to win. I understand that. But that's why I love this kid. He keeps a smile on his face.
Yeah. It's all about perspective, you know. Yeah. But So that was just a good thing. When you have a young man that's wise beyond his years. But I want to get into this whole thing with the injuries, right? Because
yeah.
Here we are. We're looking at the Titans. They're going to face the Cowboys. I'm getting choked up talking about it. They're going to face the Cowboys on Thursday Night Football. And you have the idea of, in the midst of a 5-game losing streak, resting starters in preparation for next week against Jacksonville. And I know all the marbles are on the table.
Yeah.
AFC South Championship opportunity to host a playoff game, possibly, probably get butchered, but we'll just, you know, push that off to a couple weeks from now if that should happen. But this game, can the meaningless tag be placed on it?
You know what, TD? I think it's a lot of meaning to it. And I'm not just saying, you know, I know everybody wants to rest the players and say they need to rest, but you rest players when you have a great record.
Right.
Now you have the AFC South in hand, or you already, sealed the deal. You haven't sealed the deal. And then the last 5 weeks, the offense hasn't played well. The defense played okay, but they give up plays, you know, in the last play of the game. And then you have an offensive line that has different faces there. I mean, Roos is there. I mean, you have Levin there. You have guys that are there that haven't been meshing with the other guys because they're just starting to play an offensive line. So those guys need reps. Willis needs reps. Even though Henry's playing well and getting 100 yards last game, he still needs reps. Everybody needs reps to play together as a team. So, you know, everybody's like, rest these guys. You rest guys when you sealed up the deal with AFC South, because if you go in and you're off for a whole week and you don't maintain the speed of the game, you're going to go down to Jacksonville and you're going to feel rusty. And it's going to take about 2 or 3 quarters for you to get back where you used to be.
Yeah, and see, that's my problem. And I've honestly always been against the rest thing. And you can look at the Colts team, you know, that they were undefeated.
Absolutely.
Tony Dungy rested them. I believe it was a first-round exit, you know what I mean, in the playoffs. So I think when you look at this type of situation with them, as you mentioned, they are not playing. Like, this is an offense. They scored 22 points. Right, that's the highest that they scored in the Jacksonville game. In this 5-game losing streak, they've scored over 20 points once. So for me, I understand the rest aspect of it, but at the same time, and I talked to Robert Woods about this. I specifically asked him about momentum and rolling that from 1 week into another.
And
he said, you know, I want to play and I want to go out there. Because we need to establish a rhythm on offense. We need to build confidence.
Absolutely.
And we need to have that and you know, score some points and mesh and gel and roll that into next week against Jacksonville and score on the first drive. And he's 100% right.
Yeah.
He is 100% right when he says that, because I firmly believe, I mean, we're talking about people. Like, you carry things from one day to another. You know what I mean? You know, that week of preparation, because Mike Vrabel always says that, you know, you could carry momentum from 1 week to another, but really the momentum for a game is built up in the week of preparation leading up to the game. So, okay.
Yeah.
That is correct.
Yeah.
But guess what? It's a lot easier to come into that building on Wednesday or Monday, you know what I mean, to review the film. Tuesday you're off. Sometimes you do your weight, you know, your conditioning, et cetera. But Wednesday, it's a lot easier to start that week of preparation and building momentum off of a win than a loss.
You know, it's so funny, and I want to share this quote. You remember the coach from Tennessee about 3 or 4 years ago? Was it Butch Davis? Butch
from Tennessee?
University of Tennessee.
I believe it was Butch Davis.
Yeah, Butch Davis. He said this, and everybody thought it was corny. He said this. He said, when we're doing a team, we need to build brick by brick. And when you're building brick by brick, you got to put one brick at a time to get to the next brick. And that's the same thing with the Tennessee Titans. Just imagine, they're playing a Dallas team that's 11-4. They're red hot. They just beat Philly, who was the number one team in the league, and you beat them on Thursday night. Do you think that when you go play Jacksonville, you're going to go in there with confidence? But if you go and you lose this game and get beat by 30, now you're walking in the locker room unsure. You're going to Jacksonville unsure, as opposed to say, you know what? We played a great game against a great team with a great quarterback, with a great running game, and we beat them. So if we can beat the Dallas Cowboys, we can go down to Jacksonville and beat the Jacksonville Jaguars. But if you sit guys and you go down there and get blasted, you may have not played in the game, and you may not have done some things, but at the end of the day, you're going to walk in there with no confidence as opposed to going in there with confidence.
Yeah. It was actually Butch Jones. We'll have some people there. How can you be on a show and not even, look? Sorry, okay. It's Butch Jones. But the bigger picture there is what you said, man. You know, here's my thing, and just being in that locker room and sensing it. You know, right. I'm not gonna say the vibe and the morale is down, but it's a lot different than how it was when these guys were winning. Right. There's more energy. It's just, again, it's naturally when things are going well, like it's a lot easier to be, you know, more upbeat and energized and all of that stuff. And I'm not saying that they're dead in practice, you know, or anything like that. But look, the fact of the matter is this team desperately needs a win. Like they're not in a position, in my opinion, where they could say, hey, we don't have to put our absolute best foot forward this week. Because next week matters. Well, guess what? You haven't lost 5 games in a row since 2015. This is the first that you guys are experiencing. I think it's always better to go out and compete to the best of your ability. And I get, you know, Derrick Henry, he's probably going to be rested. Derrick's probably going to be rested, right? He has the.
But do you think he should, though?
I personally don't think he should. You know, and I know he has 319 carries on the year, more than anyone else. I think playing him this week is the ultimate thing that should happen. Jeffrey Simmons, you know, Simmons told me he wants to play. Not sure if he's going to play, but he's probably not going to play. Okay, you hate to have him out, but okay, you know what? Danico Autry, bump aside. Mario Edwards, you're up this week. DeMarcus Walker, step up. You know what I mean? It's different than with Henry, and that's not to say that Henry is more important than Simmons. I think when you look big picture as a part of the unit that they're associated with, I think Henry right now is more important, though.
Yeah, but you know, the funny thing about it is I understand, you know, about rest of players. Yeah, that's great and everything. But sometimes, look at when they're playing. They're playing on Thursday, right? If this was a Sunday game, I'd be like, okay, you're not playing Thursday. You're not going to do anything Friday. Saturday, you're not going to do anything really. Sunday, you might not do anything. You're not going to do anything till maybe Monday or Wednesday.
Yeah.
So all those days in between, even though your body may feel good, but that's how you get kind of rusty. And I'm going to give you a perfect example. Last year when they had that week off and they had to play the Cincinnati Bengals. Ooh. Cincinnati Bengals is they were red hot at that time. And they caught the Tennessee Titans where they started slow. First play of the game, interception. And it took for the Titans maybe the third quarter to get back on track.
Right.
And that was just a week. And then now when Henry comes back and other guys come back, Simmons come back, even though you're going through walkthrough, even though you're going through drills, it still doesn't simulate the speed of the game.
Right.
And I think that's so important. I understand you got to rest your play. I understand that Simmons is hurt. I understand that Henry's hurt. I understand. But at least him play. Let him play for at least to the first half.
Yeah,
so he still gets that speed.
Yeah, I think he definitely should be out there. And then, you know, like you could always take him out. You know what I mean? But I definitely think putting that. It's just not the right situation, in my opinion.
Right.
Because you started this off with something when you said most of the time when this happens, the team is winning. right? Like they have a winning record. Yeah. The Titans, you know what? They've lost more games this year than they've ever lost under Mike Vrabel.
Yeah.
They've lost their luck. Yeah. They're 7-8. You see what I'm saying? Like, they've never lost more than seven games under Mike Vrabel. So,
yeah.
Look, I don't think it's something that they should do.
But, you know, we talked about it last week, TD. We said last week was the most important game. We said that. Not just for record-wise, but just for a morale rise. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So with this is the same situation with the Dallas Cowboys. It's not that, okay, I just want to win the game, in which it doesn't mean anything. It's just for the morale of the guys in the locker room and, you know, get that confidence back, get that swagger back, get that attitude back, get the eye to tie, all that stuff that you need, because this team is coming in, the Dallas Cowboys, they're a good ball club now. They got offense. They got a good offensive line. They got a great quarterback. They got great wide receivers. They got a defensive line. Parsons, all those guys on Lawrence, all those guys on defense. Just imagine you play all your guys with a quarterback that's struggling, with an offensive line that's struggling, with a secondary that's struggling, and you find a way to be one of the top three teams in the league, and you beat them. You don't think that you're going in Jacksonville in a hostile environment and can beat them?
But
that's what I'm talking about. It's not – okay, I'm sorry.
Conversely, what happens if you play all those guys and you go out there and get the brakes beat off? That's something.
Then I don't know, boss.
I think that's one of those ones. And that's why I feel like, hey, look.
Yeah,
man,
that's a good point.
Let the guys play, you know, who are impactful. Let them play. See how it rolls out. You know what I mean? Like Shane Bowen said, in that defensive room, they have the saying, put the ball down. Put the ball down and see what happens.
Yeah.
Right? And if you're able to keep it close and it's good in the first half, then keep rolling. But if it gets ugly, that's when you pull the guys. I think that's something that's the way I would approach it.
Absolutely.
I mean, because this is a really good Cowboys team. And
it is.
I just think on offense, you know, especially that this is Malik Willis. This is his fourth start. You know what I mean? This is his fourth start. So why not have Derrick Henry in there for him? Why not have the offense at full strength? Because this man is still working his way into, you know, the rhythm and the flow of the offense. And we know that it is different when Henry's not on the football field.
Yeah, but TD, even going in further with that, look at the offensive line. You got your center, Jones, is out, right? So Brewer's playing center, right? So now – he needs to be comfortable with the other two guys that are in there about communication. We got to communicate. Yeah. Jones know how to set the – he set the front. The pressure's coming from the left. The pressure's coming from the right. The dog blitz, all this stuff, and let those guys know. So when you got different guys in that hasn't played with each other as opposed to with one game, now they need to be familiar with each other. Okay, here comes a bit. Here comes a dog blitz. Here comes a safety off the edge. But how are you going to do that if you're sitting guys and Malik doesn't know what the heck is going on?
Yeah, well, offensive line-wise, they don't have the ability to rest guys. Like, what's going out there is what they have. So at least that will definitely continue to be worked on. But it's just we'll see how this game plays out. I'm really curious what's going to happen here. But, I mean, it's all about Jacksonville. That's the game.
Yeah,
and you know, you got two teams going completely different directions. One has a three-game win streak. One has a five-game losing streak. So, as a result, both teams are 7-8, and one is in good shape, set to host a win-and-end game next week.
You don't think they're going to be excited?
Absolutely. You're going to hear a bunch of Duval calls. And, by the way, Jacksonville hasn't swept the Titans since 2005, I want to say.
But here's the thing. You remember in 1999 when Jeff Fisher said, this is our house, and they want revenge? He said, this is our house. Because in 1999, we beat them. They were 14-2, and the only team that beat them was us twice. And then in the AFC Championship game, we beat them again to go to the Super Bowl, and that was a wrap. So you don't think that he's going to remind them? I know it's a different coach, a different era, but to remind them that this is not just about a football game. This is not just about winning the AFC South. It's about getting that swagger back. And this game can set you up for many years. Because why? You got beat in 1999, but now in 2022, you beat the Titans to win the AFC South to go to the playoffs.
And Doug Peterson doesn't plan to rest the starters this week against Houston.
Wow.
You know, he says, There's never a meaningless game. Never, ever, ever, ever. You play to win every game. The only way I rest players is if they're hurt and can't go. He did rest Jalen Hurts, you know, at the last game that he coaches the Eagles. But we won't get into all that. Anyway, we'll see what happens, man.
Man, it's cool. But, man, before I go, man, me and my son was watching, TV the other day, man. And there was a boxing match on. And it was I think it was Mike Tyson and Larry Holmes. And I'm like, Dad, man, you on the show with T? I'm like, yeah. It's like, is that him boxing? I'm like, no, man, that's Larry Holmes.
you should ask me how I was able to get on top of that Cadillac with those boots on and not scratch it up.
Man, get off my phone, man.
What's up, everybody? This is Teron Davenport here for Superbook Sports, and I want you to add this to your New Year's resolutions. Win money in 2023 with Superbook Sports. Superbook has over 3 decades of sports wagering experience in Las Vegas, so you'll get the best odds anywhere as we head into the football playoffs. Plus, check out the special odds boosts and promotions at superbook.com. Make 2023 the year when you win money from Vegas. Download the Superbook Sports app now and place your bets. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.
This is Traylon Burks, and I'm talking with TD. Holla, we them boys.
Holla, we them boys. All right, back from the break, talking with TD. You hear the music, so you know we're going to get into a little Dallas Cowboys convo. And what better way to do that than to go to the Sarah GMC Buick Chevrolet hotline and bring in my teammate. That's right. ESPN NFL Nation Cowboys reporter, Todd Archer. Todd, what's going on, man?
Tron, how we doing?
I am doing awesome, man. I appreciate you taking a second to come on here and talk some shop. I guess, you know, one of the things that I want to start off with is just the mindset of this Cowboys team. The Eagles game, I know that was a statement game for them personally, but how have you seen them this week in a limited time just rolling into this Cowboys Titans matchup on Thursday? Is this something that, is there an air of cockiness with them?
No, not really. I think there's an air of business with these guys. Just from the guys that we've talked to during the week, Dak Prescott, DeMarcus Lawrence, Zeke Elliott, CeeDee Lamb, guys like that, that realize there's still stuff to play for. I mean, theoretically, they can still win the East. Mm-hmm. And playing before the Eagles play, you'd hate to lose this game on Thursday and then see the Eagles lose to the Saints on Sunday, knowing that you had a chance to extend it down to the final week of the season to potentially win the division, potentially get the top seed. So, you know, as happy and as pleased as they were by beating the Eagles, I think they know it would mean nothing if they were to come out here on Thursday and lose this game. Maybe not even lose, but just play poorly, right? I mean, this is a team that's trying to like trend in the right direction when the playoffs start. And if you were to have that high on Sunday of beating the Eagles and then come down and lose to the Titans, that would certainly deflate a lot of balloons and have everybody saying it's the same old Cowboys.
Yeah, that would definitely have them saying that. Dak Prescott, he's a guy that's always, I mean, I don't know if there's a player in the league with a bigger bullseye on their back as far as criticism and just everything is concerned. How have you seen him just continuously be able to, you know, work through that and come out and do what he has to do?
Yeah, you know, and Tony Romo was the same way, his predecessor, right? I mean, every move he made was analyzed and scrutinized and critiqued. And, you know, when you're the Cowboys quarterback, that's just kind of what happens. And you've learned to deal with it. And you learn to what to listen to and what not to listen to, probably more important. And Dak does a really good job of, honestly, ignoring the noise. He knows what's out there. He's not blind or deaf to it. He knows what's being said and knows what's out there, but he doesn't really pay attention to it. And, you know, he has had really good moments that he's played through this year, coming back from that thumb surgery. And then he's had some really down moments, too, with a pick sixes and a four-throw span over 2 games that, you know, not all his fault, especially the first one at Jacksonville, but, you know, those go on the quarterback's ledger, whether it's their fault or not. And he does a good job of not letting a bad play affect the next play. And and it's probably how he was raised, the stuff he's had to deal with at such a young age, losing his mom, losing his older brother, that he's just learned what's important and what's not. And what's important is always the next play, not the play that you might have messed up on or something went poor for you.
Yeah, that's definitely something. You see this team Right, because when Dak came in, they were focused on running the football. There was balance. He brought that in the passing game. But now, you know, you look at Tony Pollard, his emergence, and you have Ezekiel Elliott. It's funny because I think back to the movie, The Program, right? We had Darnell Jefferson, the hot young guy coming in and making a mark, but the guy who was the starter didn't quite like that. But that's not what you're seeing there in Dallas. So kind of expose us to that, you know, how that whole process has been, because it seemed like Elliott has gracefully allowed Pollard to come in and they become a tandem.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'm writing about that for ESPN.com on Thursday. And Zeke certainly is the guy who could say, look at my resume, look at my rushing titles, look at my Pro Bowls, look at the yards, look at my history. I should be the guy. And he's not done that. And I asked him, like, do you miss 25 carries? And he kind of thought for a second, and he goes, I like winning football, and I want to have a long career. And I think he's come to the realization that two is better than one. And with him and Pollard, how they got it going now, it's hard to argue. Now, what's interesting, Pollard's probably in a little bit of a question for Thursday's game because of a thigh injury. Hasn't, not that they've really practiced this week. As you know, these practices aren't real in short weeks. But he's not really done much this week, so they might choose to sit him out this week and give Zeke the full work. They have like Malik Davis, an undrafted rookie that they have out of Florida that's done some good things in limited roles. But the Cowboys have really maximized both of these guys to where, A, aside from the thigh bruise that he has, that they're both fresh going in late in the season, where Zeke was a guy that's usually beat up this time of year. And using both those guys on the field at the same time to kind of keep the defense guessing as to what they're going to do. So everything that they've wanted to do with that running game with Pollard and Zeke, and not just one or the other, has really worked out tremendously well for the Cowboys.
Yeah, that's been a great transition for them. And we're talking to ESPN NFL Nation Cowboys reporter Todd Archer. Todd, the offensive line, you look at another thing that has happened, right? Tyron Smith, for all these years, was at the very least 1B. As far as when you talk about top left tackles. But now here he is playing right tackle, and you got the young man, Tyler Smith, coming in playing left. How has that whole thing been with that offensive line, and how remarkable is it that, you know, he was willing to make that switch?
Yeah, another guy that's saying, hey, what do you need me to do, and I'll go do it. And, you know, the bad part for the Cowboys is that they lost their right tackle, Terrence Steele, was playing really well, to a torn ACL, just as Tyron Smith was ready to come back and start playing after he had hamstring surgery in August. So they were kind of, it's not every day you can add a guy that's been to 8 Pro Bowls and say, okay, go back and play right tackle. But he volunteered to go over there. That says a lot about him, because, again, he could say, I'm Tyron Smith, man. I'm one of the best left tackles in the game.
Yes.
You know, I should be over there. But he thought, hey, look, it's going to be better if Tyler stays here. He doesn't move. Keep him in the same spot. I can go over there, work with Zach Martin. There's 16 Pro Bowls on the right side of the offensive line. So it's still a little weird to see 77 on the right side, because you haven't seen it since 2011. And it was a little awkward, I think, for him early on, getting his footwork down and technique and all that after playing on the left so long. But I think he's rounded into the form and understanding angles, understanding combo blocks, understanding the games that defensive linemen are going to play more. And like I said, when you're calling in a guy that, like Tyron Smith in week, 14, 15, there's not another team in the NFL that could have done something like that. So, again, benefited the Cowboys to have him come back from that torn hamstring just as they were losing Terrence Steele.
When you talk about the Cowboys defense, I mean, obviously number 11, that's the one, Micah Parsons, he comes to mind. What, you know, from your perspective has been like the key, like this guy came in and he's had like a Lawrence Taylor type of beginning to his career. What has been what made him able to do that so smoothly?
Yeah, he's just an amazing athlete, really. I mean, think about it. He didn't even play football his last year at Penn State. He opted out of the COVID year.
Yeah.
He came in last year and was unbelievable, and really was like truly was a double position guy. He played linebacker and pass rusher. This year, the last, say, 6-7 games, he's really only been an edge player. So I think the Cowboys have realized, let's just let him affect the quarterback and get after him. His athleticism, his speed, he always says he's the fastest guy on the roster, which you kind of roll your eyes at, because There's no way he's faster than a DB or a wide receiver. But I think if he was in a race, he'd probably beat those guys. And just because of how he is and like what how he thinks. And he's doing a little cut on his hand, on his left hand. He's got it wrapped up. But he had one sack a couple weeks against Jacksonville. The pass rush hasn't been delivering the sacks here lately, but they have been delivering pressures. They got to get back to sacking the quarterback, though, because that's what made this defense so dominant early on. They need to get back to that for the playoff run to team that up with their turnovers. But Micah Parsons is – he needs a performance tomorrow, in my mind, to reignite the defensive player of the year talk, because right now I think it goes to Boza with what he's been doing lately. But if Micah can have a national TV game, a big game in front of everybody, that puts him right back into it. And he's got 13 sacks. He's got 25 in his first 2 years. You mentioned the Lawrence Taylor effect. Cowboys haven't had a pass rusher like this since DeMarcus Ware in his prime.
Yeah, yeah, and it's this is a prime week. This is that chicken noodle soup to a cold week for the pass rush to get back on course, man. This Titans offensive line, well, I tell you what, has struggled. And you mentioned DeMarcus Lawrence. I see there's a questionable status next to him. What's the latest on him as well as Vander Esch and Jayron Kearse?
Vander Esch, I haven't seen the full injury report, but they told us he'd probably be out this week too as he deals with the little trap nerve issue thing in his neck that bugged him, but not related to the disc issue that was something that knocked him out a couple of years ago. Kearse, they expect to play. DeMarcus Lawrence, they expect to play. Who else was on there? Tony Pollard. That one's the iffiest one, but Lawrence has been a guy that's been limited in practice here for quite a while because of a foot injury he's been dealing with. And when, you know, he's year 9, I think, in the league, he's probably like, I don't need to practice. Just get me to the game day. And he's a guy that only has a 6 sacks, but I think it was pretty recognizable that his peers voted him in the Pro Bowl to show you that his game is just not solely about sacks.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing. It's all about impacting the quarterback also. I mean, and there's a lot of things that these guys do that don't show up on the stat sheet, but when you go back and you watch that end zone view, you're like, oh, okay, he did have a good play on that. So I'm glad you mentioned that part of it. I guess we'll wrap it up with Trevon Diggs. And I remember pre-draft, I did some stuff with him. I went down to Atlanta and you know, spent the day with him as he worked out with his brother and everything. So he's always someone I take a special interest in. I'm looking forward to, you know, seeing him out there. But just as far as his play, right, going from all of the interceptions last year to this year, how have you seen him handle that role of being the lead corner, the guy that every week you're going against the top receiver?
Yeah, and the Cowboys this year have done more of him matching up with the number one guy and following him all over the field. They didn't really do that a ton even last year when he had the 11th pick. So it's weird, right, because he's got 3 interceptions. I think he's gone 5 or 6 or 7 games without a pick. They say, down year for him. But he's actually played probably more sound football this year than he did a year ago. And I know, but he's still susceptible to the double moves and biting on things because he is ultra aggressive. But he's done a better job of eliminating some of that. But you know, you think of what they're going to be facing in the playoffs eventually in the NFC. It's always good to have a cornerback like that that you can say, okay, just follow that guy around. And when injuries and other things have happened to the secondary, they've really needed Trayvon to step up and become an even better all-around player, forget the picks, and he's done that. And now you want to get the picks too, and I'm sure he wants the picks. I'm sure he's dying to get one because it's been so long. But I think last year he would have chased him, and it might have hurt his game, and I think this year he's learned, hey, if I'm going to chase him, all I'm going to do is get myself in trouble. But again, he will bite on those double moves every now and then.
Yes. He absolutely will. They just got him on one recently, so I get what you're saying there. Well, Todd, I appreciate you coming on. I definitely are looking forward to catching up at the game, man, and enjoy your short stay here in Nashville, man, and we'll talk soon.
All right, man. Looking forward to seeing you tomorrow.
All right, for sure. So that was Todd Archer giving us the rundown on the Cowboys. I tell you, with Vander Esch now out, you got questionable status for Micah Parsons and Tony Pollard. We'll see what happens there. That Titans list is just, woof. That's all you could do about that one. But, hey, man, that's why they play the game, right? You still got to go out there and execute and play and coach better, play better, right? That's what they always say. We'll see what happens. And until then, you know, just stay tuned. We have some different things going on. Looks like the big game is going to be next week, whether it's Saturday or Sunday. I don't know when, but we'll see what happens as the Titans get ready for that one. Until then, appreciate each of you for tuning in. Definitely make sure you check us out on Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, everywhere you get your fine listening materials. Search Talking with TD. Subscribe, rate, review. We appreciate you.